True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of Smart Garden. This morning, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering all of those lawn and garden questions. Laura, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Denny.
Nice to have you back with us and answering all of these questions. Now, you told me you're going to be heading to the fair later.
I am, just for fun, not for work. So first time
work.
This year. So we're going to wander around, hopefully get some good food, and I'm probably going to go back to the Arts and Crafts building because I just appreciate everything people are doing over there. And of course, the Horticulture building.
and you have good walking weather, too. I mean, it's going to be beautiful this weekend. And I would assume there's going to be some record crowds by the time this is the fair is all over. We'll wait and see. In the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, excuse me, and already we have a bunch. In fact, many were sent text earlier this morning. But before we get to those, and certainly you can call in your question if you like, 651-461-9226. We talked, as you know, last week with John Trappi, our turf guru, our turf expert from the U of M. What's happening with John these days?
Yeah, so there is a rescheduled lawn care field day next Wednesday in St. Paul. It's up a little north of the St. Paul campus, just on the other side of Larpinder. But it is for all homeowners to go. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. on September 3rd. He does ask that you pre-register by noon on Tuesday the 2nd. So if you go to turf.umn.edu, it's just on the homepage. You can click on that. So it'll help you with figuring out, is your lawn salvageable, choosing different types of turf for your area, managing weeds, all the things you have questions about here, they will talk about in person. So if you can make it, that would be great.
Oh, that's great. And let's mention that before you take your leave this hour. I'd like to be there myself. I need help, but we'll talk about it. Are you? Great.
Yeah. I have to learn too.
651-461-9226 for your text or phone call for Laura Irish Hansen. Here's a text, Laura. Texter said, planted grass seed in a couple of bare spots 1.5 weeks ago, watering twice daily, nothing coming up yet. HOA came through yesterday, put down fertilizer and weed killer. Is my grass seed toast now?
Oh, boy. See, this is where I would love if John was here. He would be right on this question. So it just depends on the type of turf you put down, on when it's going to germinate, because we've kind of had a little roller coaster of weather the last couple of weeks. So kind of cooler and hotter and warmer. So it might just need a little bit more time to germinate. Depending on if they actually put an herbicide down, depending on what they put down, it might just be a broadleaf herbicide, but without being able to ask them, it's kind of tricky to tell. So I would keep watering it for a little while. If you are worried, you could in another week or two put more seed down, but I know that John would say the best time to seed is dormant seeding. So that is mid-November on would be the best time to get those patches.
I'm going to try that dormant seeding again this year. That seemed to work work pretty well in past years. This texter says the stems on my little lime hydrangea are too weak to hold up the blossoms. Should I prune it back more than the usual one-third, or is this just how this type of hydrangea grows?
Yeah, so some hydrangeas have these big, beautiful flower heads that are really heavy, and they aren't supported well on the stems that they are blooming off of. That could be because they're in a little more shaded area or shaded out, so those stems are actually getting potentially a little too long, so they actually can't hold that weight up as if they were grown in something with more direct sunlight. So that could be one of the causes. But you could try to prune a little further back, but I don't think that that's going to correct that falling over issue for those limelight hydrangeas. You can, I know, depending on the height of it, and you're going to go out there and gauge it for yourself, but you might want to put something lower and denser just in the front of it, because that might help prop up those flower blossoms for next time.
All right. Good morning, Texter says. Thank you for your show. I have some chives growing in an area where I don't want them to be. They are currently flowering and beautiful. I believe they'll begin to seed next. What should I do to prevent them from seeding and or spreading? If they're flowering now, how long do I have to complete that task?
Yeah, so this could be two different types of chives. So just for everyone listening, there are the regular chives that are going to have the leaves that are kind of circular, and they have a purple flower. And they'll usually start flowering in early summer. And then there are garlic chives, and garlic chives do not have a circular leaves. They have kind of flat leaves, kind of like a leek or a garlic, if you've ever felt a garlic leaf. So both of those, they do spread by their bulbs. That's the little white part underground. They'll slowly go that way, but they can also spread by seeds. And so when you see that either white or purple flower, you can enjoy those flowers. But once they start to kind of fade, that's when you want to go and just cut those off with pruners, and that'll stop them from spreading by seed. Now, garlic chives are a little more aggressive. They also have something called bulb bills. So they form little bulbs in with their flowers, and those will actually fall over and start new plants elsewhere. So if you are dealing with garlic chives, they do spread very quickly. You're going to want to cut those flowers off and slowly start pulling those plants up. And it's going to take a lot of hand labor, but it's worth it if they are spreading into places you don't want them.
Okay. I'm not sure if you've heard about this. This came in earlier this morning. What's going on with all the dead trees? There don't appear to be any one specific tree either. Are you seeing or hearing about that?
Yeah, so there's been quite a bit of tree and shrub and just general perennial loss, particularly this year. And plants aren't just impacted by things that have happened the last day, week, or even year. They can actually be impacted by weather events and flooding events in particular, and drought events for years and years. So if they are impacted by what we've been seeing the last few years, flooding events followed by drought-like conditions, then more flooding or drought on drought and our dry winters, those plants may not have had time to recover from each one of those events. So they could be not able to survive, and they may be dying from that. So sometimes they will die after a single event, like if it's severe flooding and the root systems have been underwater for quite a few weeks. That can also cause mature trees and shrubs to die.
Okay. Listener sent this text, Laura. Around our birch trees and plantings popping through the mulch, there are creepy-looking 3-inch orange horn-like sprouts with brownish pointed tips. Any thoughts on that?
I do not remember the actual name for that fungus, so I'm not going to say what my friend told me they were called, but they are just a fungus. They're fine. They're mushroom type, and they are just coming up in the mulch because it's cool and moist. We had that really nice, cool, moist spell, and we've also had pretty humid weather, so there's nothing you need to do. It's not harming your plants. You could just enjoy them for their silly visual in your garden bed.
I would imagine you can knock them over when you're mowing the lawn.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very flimsy.
All right. Tell you what, before we do break, I noticed we got a phone call from Kelly calling from Andover. That's great. Let's grab Kelly's question. Hi, Kelly. What is your question for Laura?
Hi. Good morning, Laura. Question about a crabapple tree. Most of it, to be honest, had died off. There was just one large branch that was still thriving, but that came down in a recent storm. I'm sure it was probably just too strong for the dead trunk, but we took the whole tree down, but wondering, did not grind it out. Can we plant another plant or tree in that same area, or will the root be an issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you didn't have the stump ground out, you definitely aren't going to plant directly where that tree was. And generally, we don't recommend doing that anyway, just because there's going to be a lot of roots, like you mentioned, for that new tree to kind of work around. I would go out 4-6 feet away from that space if you can, and then dig a hole and just see if you're going to be impacted by any significant root system around that tree. That's the best thing to do. We do have new web or updated web pages on watering in newly planted trees and shrubs on our website, which is extension.umn.edu. And we also have some good videos on how to plant trees properly. So good luck to you. I know that crabapples can have pretty intense root systems, but usually the further out you go from that main planting, the better off you are.
I always like to hear the mention of that website. You and your colleagues put so much effort and great information there. It's just so much information. Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, do so. extension.umn.edu. You'll be amazed at all the information contained in that website. All right, Laura, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show brought to you by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, welcoming your calls or texts for Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, 651-461-9226. Laura, before the break, I mentioned we getting more phone calls. Henry calling in from Rogers this morning. Thanks, Henry. What is your question? Okay. Are you there, Henry?
I got a question.
We're getting some kind of feedback. Are you still with us, Laura?
I am still with you, yes.
Okay, you're hearing the same thing I am.
Waiting on bated breath. Yes, I am.
All right, well, let's see if we can't get Henry's question posed. Want to try it again, Henry? Well, maybe later. All right, we'll try to get to figure out what kind of gremlins are in our system right now. A lot of text messages, however. Can I trim my flowering crab tree in September is the question.
You can if you see damage. So right now, the best recommendations are to wait until the trees are dormant. And that is usually here in Minnesota, we're going to be pruning apples, crab apples in February, March, sometimes into early April, just depends on the season. So if you do have a damaged limb, however, you do want to clean that up and make sure we have a nice, clean, flat wound so the tree can heal over better than if like a branch fell down and there's a ragged rip or a cut there. You just want to make sure that's cleaned up. If it is also something that, you know, it's bumping into a sidewalk or bumping into a sidewalk, if it's overhanging a sidewalk, you know, you might want to trim that just for safety reasons as well.
Well, here's one we've never had before. Can I use milk to water plants?
I would not recommend doing that because if you are using milk, there are more, I'm not going to say this perfectly, but there are more components inside of it than just the water and basic nutrients that we have in the water. And so I would not do it just because you could also encourage fungal growth, mold growth, and other things because there are sugars there in the milk. Lactose is a sugar, and that can feed some other organisms. So maybe not the ones you want. So I would avoid doing that, particularly if it splashes up on the leaves.
All right. I'm looking, boy, they just keep coming in here. This listener has a rose of Sharon bushes. It is on the west side of my home. When and how do I trim it?
Yeah, so it depends on what kind of trimming you want to do. Sometimes the Rose of Sharon's get so large and a little unruly. And you can actually do a rejuvenation prune on them, which means you cut them almost all the way back to the ground and let them regrow. And typically we do that in early spring before the plant starts budding out and growing out. You can do trimming on them if you're just trying to shape them a little bit, and usually we do that after they're done blooming. You can also do that dormant if you're not worried about losing any of the blossoms.
Laura, I just see there was an addition to that paragraph. The texter would like to get it to widen instead of gaining height.
Oh, okay. So the best, do you like how that changes my answer a little bit? So it's getting very tall because that's just what they do. But if you are hoping for them to get wider, what you actually want to do is go in and prune out a little bit more of the center. And then you can actually, I'm making motions with my hand that you can't see, but almost like a slight trapezoidal shape when you're doing your pruning. So you'll get light going to those lower branches instead of the upper branches, because the upper canopy is going to be shading out that lower. So if you want it to go further in width, then you want to make sure that those lower branches are able to actually get the light they need to grow.
All right, Laura, I think Henry is back. Let's find out. Henry, you're on CCO with Laura. What is your question? All right. Henry has got his radio on. Now I think I've just discovered the problem. Let's talk to Catherine from Blaine next, Ryan, and then we'll tell Henry to turn off his radio. Catherine, thanks for calling. What is your question?
My question for Laura is, and thanks again for taking my call. I want to put a weigelia in. Am I saying that correctly? And which side of the... I only have the east side or the north side. So what is best for weigelia?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I wish my good friend, who is taking over part of the weigelia breeding program, was on right now. The weigelia can be grown in full sun, and they can flower a little bit more profusely. So I would choose the east side of your home, just because you're going to get hopefully some direct morning light before the home shades out the weigelia. You can also plant them in more shady conditions, but they might not flower as profusely for you, so you could put them on the north side.
All right, very good. Dexter says, how do you care for 3-year-old asparagus plants? Do you cut them back? What's the proper care?
Yeah, so when you have asparagus, and I'm assuming you said 3 years, so you harvested some this spring to enjoy, I hope, and then you actually want them to grow out and get that beautiful, kind of like magically fluffy frond growth, because those are the leaves of the asparagus, and that's what's capturing all that sunlight, and it's putting... photosynthesizing, and it's actually putting more sugars down, more nutrients down into the crowns of the plants. So you'll have healthy, more vigorous growth year on year for your asparagus. So I would wait to cut them back. You can leave them up all winter. They have really great winter interest as well. And then you can take off all that old growth in early spring before the new stalks come up.
As you know, Laura, doing the show a number of times as you have, we always, at least once a week, 52 weeks a year, get a question about Creeping Charlie. Here's ours for the week. The best method to get rid of Creeping Charlie without killing the whole lawn.
Yeah, so the best method, it depends on how much you have. I have tried manual pulling out of Creeping Charlie for 2 years now, and I am finally, I know I need to get rid of it because it's taking out some of my plants. I am going with an herbicide, and now is the best time to be applying that herbicide. The active ingredient is triclopyr that will actually take care of Creeping Charlie. We do have a whole webpage on extension.umn.edu all about Creeping Charlie. Now, you might also hear Creeping Charlie called ground ivy. Those are the same thing. So if you do run into that when you're online, just know that those are the same plant.
Very good. All right. On that note, let's take a break, see what that forecast calls for. We have about another half hour of the show to go. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Laura, now is your chance. 651-461-9226. Make it a phone call or a text here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show on this Saturday morning holiday weekend. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M answering those particular questions today. Laura, I know you and your colleagues, a couple of them, office, lucky you, at the ARB.
Yeah, I do. It's beautiful. It's fun. And there is an event. If you can't make it out to the fair today, it is the Corn Days event up at the farm at the ARB. So if you want to learn all about field corn, popcorn, sweet corn, a whole bunch of fun activities for the family. And I also want to just mention that there is this really cool exhibit that goes between the two main buildings. It's called Arboretum Trees of Yore. And one of the amazing staff people at the Arboretum actually carved spoons from 12 different trees that had fallen at the Arboretum, and there's stories about those trees. So I would highly recommend going and walking the hallway between where Rootstock, the new cafe, is down to the library, if you've ever been to the library.
Oh, it's a, in fact, I'd like to go there this week sometime. Plus, the Apple House is open, right?
Oh, yeah, the Apple. How could I forget? The Apple House is open. Yeah, so it's just a little further west on 5. So you can get all different types of apples, and they keep it pretty updated for what apples are ready and what you can purchase there. And, of course, there's more than just apples. There's also the donut place that I've been told has very tasty little donuts.
Oh, yes. I've had them. And there's another reason to go back this week. Laura, let's grab a phone call. Mary is calling in from Crystal, I believe, this morning. Thanks, Mary. What is your question for Laura?
Yes, as I walk around Crystal, there are no brown spots in any lawns. It's all covered with this beautiful, bright green grass-looking stuff, and my own lawn included. And what is that grass, and what's going to happen when it winter comes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So likely what you're seeing is crabgrass. It is usually much brighter green and has a slightly thicker leaf blade than a lot of our other turf grasses do here in Minnesota. And crabgrass is an annual, so that the leaf, all that green you're seeing this year will not be there next year, but they do seed fairly prolifically. So likely next year, if the lawn is not being treated with a crabgrass pre-emergent or post-emergent, then you'll see those again. And if it doesn't bother you, you know, just leave it be. But if you want to get rid of it, there is a whole webpage on extension.umn.edu if you're curious on how to work around the crabgrass.
Yeah, great info in that on that website about lawn care. Perfect. Laura, this listener said via text, I planted 2 linden trees last summer. Cover the base with wood chips. How deep should the wood chips be?
All right. I love this question. I've been doing a lot of tree activities and work the last couple of weeks. And so I've been telling people about the rule of threes. So the mulch should be 3 inches away from the base of the tree. So you don't actually want mulch up against the trunk. You want to pull it 3 inches away. The mulch should also be 3 inches thick all the way around, because we want to make sure that it is deep enough to suppress weeds, but also is conserving and holding more moisture in, so sunlight isn't getting directly down to the soil. And then usually if you can, go about 3 feet in for the radius, so that's 3 feet out from the trunk all the way around with that mulch ring. And that will do the most work to help that plant as it's getting established. But number one thing, make sure 3 inches deep and not against the trunk. Pull that mulch away. No mulch volcanoes. It would make me so happy
what
if I never saw one.
Does that kind of smother the tree, Laura? What's the deal?
Yeah, it actually ends up encouraging the roots to... So if you can imagine a tree put in, and usually we have root flares, and those mean that the roots are going to go away from the tree, right? Kind of run perpendicular to the trunk. What can happen is if you have mulch up next to the trunk, it could girdle it if it's very high and very thick of mulch, which just means that the stem gets constricted as it gets wider and wider over the years. But it can also encourage roots to start growing and circling around the tree up above the soil, and then that's how we get circling, girdling roots. It's one of the ways we get them or encourage them. So we want to make sure that we're not doing that. We want those root flares so that where that tree, when you plant it, you might have seen it kind of widens out right before the roots. That needs to be exposed.
Okay. Texter says this, clover and weeds are getting bad in the rhubarb patch. If I treat them this fall, would it be okay to eat the rhubarb with our next next spring?
So you're going to want to be very careful if you are treating, because clover and most other broadleaf weeds, the herbicide, if you were choosing to use one, might actually damage the rhubarb. So be really careful. My biggest suggestion would be to actually hand weed as much as possible within the crown of that rhubarb. So where all of those stalks have come out, don't put any herbicide there. Do some manual hand weeding if you can. And next year, I would highly recommend when if you harvest your rhubarb, or even if you don't, we don't eat the leaf blade, right? Not good for us. Don't do that. But when you cut that leaf blade off, just lay it right there underneath, like right next to the crown of the plant, because it can actually, they can help suppress weed growth for next year. So use what you have, and then you don't have to deal with that leaf blade, putting it in your home compost or in your city yard waste bin.
Okay. If you have a question, a lawn or garden type of question, you can call it in or you can text it in, 651-461-9226. What is, or rather when, is the best time to cut back peonies?
Yeah, so we want, I'm assuming, maybe wrongly, that this person is dealing with maybe some powdery mildew issues on their peonies, and it's okay. The powdery mildew is not going to kill the plant, and those leaves are still photosynthesizing. That means they're taking that energy from the sun and creating carbohydrates and things for the plant to send underground so we can have nice, robust blooms and plants for the following year. So it is best to leave those leaves all summer and into fall until the plant naturally starts dying back. And then you can take care of it if you want to this fall, or you can leave it up until really early next spring and then remove those leaves. But leaving them as long as possible, just like our spring flowering bulbs, leave all those leaves so that they can put energy back underground for the next year.
Very good. Caller earlier mentioned weigela. Texter wants to know, how can I grow a weigela from a cutting? What is the process?
Oh, I actually, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you the best method for doing it. I do have my giant plant propagation manual right here. So maybe at the next break, I'll look that up for you
good
and
idea.
Let you know.
Let's do that. That'll be your homework for the next break then. What a texter sent this in. What time of year is the best to plant hydrangeas?
So I would plant, and usually we don't say plant in the middle of summer unless you're going to be watering every day while those roots get established. But really, you can be planting them anytime. You can work the soil in early summer up into the fall, but you just want to make sure that you have mulched them really well and you're watering them. And it's not just the first year that you plant them, but you need to be watering them very consistently. It's for the next 2-3 years to let those roots establish and work into the native soil.
Very good. Let's grab a couple of phone calls this morning. First up, Jose calling in from St. Paul. Jose, good morning. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Say, I have a question about, you know, the last couple of times I mowed my lawn, there's some kind of a brown powdery substance on the lawn, you know, kind of like coppery color. And I want to know how to get rid of it. Is it safe for my grandson to be playing out in the yard, or is it toxic, or can you guys give me an idea?
Yeah, so there's a few different things that could be going on, and with that, it depends on the type of grass you have. I know that there are rusts that happen that are totally natural, and they kind of have that orangey tint. So if you're wearing like white or light colored shoes, or gets on your skin, you might see that kind of rusty color, and that's completely fine. It's completely normal. There is also a brown one. I really wish that John was here because he just explained what that was to me the other day. And of course, right now I cannot remember what it is called, but it should be, I'm going to assume it's okay because he didn't seem too concerned when we were walking around.
Very good. Mary calling in from Monticello this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
I have a big patch of sweet grass. I bought a plant somewhere, can't remember, about 4 years ago, and put it in a kind of a crummy area of my lawn. And It is now probably 25 feet long by 4 feet wide. And it's lush and big, and but it's starting to tip over now and get brown. Some of it is brown. How do I take care of that? And then also, I have a gigantic humpback whale hosta that I need to move. Can I do that now?
Yeah, so I'll start with the hosta. Yes, you can divide your hosta right now if you need to, and hostas are pretty resilient, so you can just take a spade, chop them in half or a third, depending on how large that is, and have multiple plants, or you can just move it to that new space if that's what you're just wanting to do. For the sweet grass, so sweet grass, like you described, can spread pretty quickly, and it has pretty large rhizomes, if it's the same thing that I am thinking of, and they are really pretty tough to get rid of, unfortunately. So if you're trying to hand dig them, it's going to be a lot, a labor of love there. I'm not sure if there are any herbicides, there might be, that are listed that you could spray if you wanted to spray them out. But yeah, sweet grass, it really does take over quite aggressively. So if anybody is planting it, it's better to put it in an area that has confined borders so that it's not spreading too far. I'm sorry, I don't have anything other than it's a labor of love to dig that out. But it smells so good. There's so many uses for sweet grass.
And before we break and let you do some homework, Laura, I'm looking at a text about the product. I think what they want is that chemical for Creeping Charlie, triclopyr, right?
Yes. Yep. That is what it is.
Look for the label, in the label, for that particular
yes,
element.
Yes, always.
In there.
I should say, anytime with herbicides and pesticides, read the label. Label is the law.
Absolutely. All right, Laura, let's take this quick break. Be back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions today. And, excuse me, Laura, you have a little research to bring back, right?
I do. And it was my gut feeling earlier. I should have just gone with it. So for the Weigela stem cutting question, so they are very easy to propagate with stem cuttings. And you can do that either with hardwood cutting. So that is not the new growth. And typically you take those in early spring. Or you can do new growth that is like a softwood tip cutting, which means that it's not cut on the top. So you have that new growth potential on the top still. But if you do a stem tip cutting, those softwood cuttings, you're going to need to put them somewhere really humid. So you're going to want to make some type of cover for them. And we actually have a really awesome little blurb about something called a Forsyth pot. And a Forsyth pot is a way to create a high humidity environment to root cuttings at home. And that is on our Tubers Begonia webpage. But if you just look up Forsyth pot on extension.umn.edu, it'll pull you onto that webpage so you can learn how to make your own little propagation chamber.
Thank you for that, Laura. And I'm looking at another text that's going to make you wish John was with us again. Can we use pre-emergent twice to control crabgrass? Once doesn't do it.
You're right, Denny. I wish John was here. So typically the pre-emergent won't work if the seed has already germinated. And you might not notice that it has done that. So you might have applied it a little too late. On the flip side, you could have applied it a little too early. I'm not exactly sure how long all of those pre-emergents are viable for the crabgrass, but I know that we have on the turf webpage the crabgrass calculator calendar. It tells you when you should be applying pre-emergent for crabgrass throughout the state.
Okay. Another listener sent this text. Can I treat my peonies for fungus at this time of year?
It would depend on what your peony has. If it is just the mildew, I would not treat it at all. But there are some other foliar diseases on peony, and typically they aren't going to kill the plant. So in general, we say just leave it be. But you could. I would follow the label, though. So whatever fungus that you have, if you have identified it correctly, then you can look up and see if there's something that can be sprayed on your ornamental peony plant.
Laura, you'll have to tell me what turtle heads are, because a listener wants to know, can I split and transplant them?
Yes, I love turtle heads. They're so cute, Denny. You're going to have to Google it, but you have to do turtle head plant, because otherwise you're just going to get a whole bunch of actual turtle heads. I love turtle heads. There are a couple different colors. I really like the one. It's called Hot Lips, I think. It's this hot pink one. And the flowers look like little turtle heads, which is why it has that name. But yes, you can divide your turtle head. Right now is a fine time to do that. And then just make sure you're burying it to the same depth that you originally had for the plant.
What conditions do they like? Do they like sun, shade, both?
Yep, they're typically, you can put them in full sun. Obviously, it's a very common thing that we say for most flowering plants. You can put them in some part shade, but they don't flower as profusely, and they might get a little floppy and leggy, particularly if you're growing just the straight species and not one of the cultivars.
Okay. This texter says this, my amaryllis plant has many large, some kind of leaves. I'm not sure, maybe falling. It has to be tied up. What do I do when it gets cold? Amaryllis plant.
Amaryllis that has large leaves. So the amaryllis should have large leaves, and the leaves aren't always going to be erect and up in the air. As they age and the more leaves get put on with that bulb, those larger ones are going to be a little more droopy, if I'm understanding this question correctly. So there's nothing you really need to do with it. So I would leave it be, let those lower leaves slowly die off. We released our September garden checklist just came out for Yard and Garden News for extension.umn.edu, and I did link to what you need to do if you want to force your amaryllis to bloom for this next holiday season. You don't have to do it if you just want them to bloom whenever, and that's fun too, but if you want them to bloom on purpose around the holidays, make sure you check out our webpage.
I was just thinking, Laura, speaking of yard, you had mentioned at the top of the show about what's going on that John Trappi told you about. Tell our listeners again, and then especially those that missed it, what's going on.
Yeah, so there is a homeowner lawn care field day this Wednesday, and you do need to register by noon on Tuesday, September 2nd. But this is all about, can I salvage my lawn? What kind of species or cultivars would be best for you to be planting? How do you manage all those weeds? You know, all the Creeping Charlie questions we get, crabgrass questions. Our turf experts are going to be there. And this field day is just north of the St. Paul campus. So it's a pretty convenient location if you're in the metro. And even if you're out and about, please come in. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. but on Wednesday. But remember, you do need to pre-register. So check out that on turf.umn.edu. And that will send you the link with more information.
Very good. I think we have time for a phone call. Marleth calling in from Lakeville. Marleth, thank you for calling. What is your question for Laura?
Yes, thank you. I like to raise phlox, but I have trouble with them. I have a white one and a pink one, and they come up nice and green and looking healthy. And about bloom time, they get this yellowish blotches on their leaves and maybe kind of dry at the bottom. And this year I've tried making sure they were watered well enough through the season, but I don't know what causes that. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, so there are quite a few different fungal spots that they can get. And if it hasn't killed the plants, I would leave it. Just personally, I guess I shouldn't say that because I'm working right now. but yeah, I would leave it alone. The best thing you can do is remove those leaves at the end of the season. Make sure you're not putting them in your home compost system. Put them into city waste, the city yard waste. Sorry, I need to be very specific there. But don't put those in a home compost because it's probably not hot enough to kill those spores.
Okay. Looking at another one, I'm trying to discern what this means. Texter says, I'm starting a multi-year project to dig out Vinca periwinkle from my yard. It has not smothered out weeds and is spreading. I am... maxed, something is 3 inches thick, some kind of a mat. Any suggestions for a replacement for that plant? It might have to just be wood mulch for a while as the lingering roots still grow. Can you interpret that?
Yeah, I'm interpreting it as best I can. So for those who don't know, vinca vine is gorgeous. It's a great ground cover. It smells really, really great when it's flowering. It's kind of inconspicuous when it does that, the flowers. But it's really good ground cover because it will totally cover the ground, just absolutely cover and smother, pretty much choke out anything else that's trying to grow there. So if you have not been able to get all those rhizomes out, all those the pieces of the vinca vine, I would not plant anything else in there yet, because that vinca will come back and you'll be battling trying to get that out and away from those other plants. Depending on where it is under the trees, you could try to smother it a little more with like layers of cardboard, and that might help, and then put mulch on top of it. But know that those rhizomes could jump up into mulch and continue to grow. So it is a great ground cover. It's gorgeous. I love it when it's in a contained space. But yeah, it's a tricky one to try to control without herbicides.
We are just about out of time. Let's remind our listeners, first of all, get to the Arboretum, get to the Apple House. And by all means, if you haven't checked out the website, give us that website, if you would, Laura.
Yeah, it's extension.umn.edu. And we have tons of great information. We have our monthly checklist that gets posted at the beginning of each month. And we have Hort Shorts on our YouTube channel as well. So check those out if you want little quick videos.
Excellent. Laura, always fun. Thanks for joining us today, answering all those questions. And we'll see you at the Arboretum.
Yeah. See you next time, Denny. Thanks.
Good deal. Laura Irish Hansen, who is, again, lucky to office at the Arboretum. Beautiful place. Yeah, get there. You'll love it.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body, To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.